You know, this, you know, it's interesting because, you know, every time we worship, I think about me being up there worshiping, playing the piano, you know, playing the drums, playing the guitar. I'm telling you, we got some amazing musicians here, and God has given them a very, very special talent. And, you know, when I was younger, I actually wanted to play the piano and also other instruments. It was a really big passion of mine. Even today, it still is. And, you know, I had a goal set in mind to learn at a young age and didn't have the means to be able to do it. However, when I was in high school, all these means came to fruition. You know, there was pianos everywhere. They had big music halls. I could join the classes and things like that. And guess what? I never did. I was too busy playing basketball, chasing girls, and doing everything else you do as a high schooler. And I never had the opportunity to go and learn how to play the piano or other instruments. Now, today I try, but it's difficult. Like, it's difficult when you don't have the time and, you know, you're older now and things. You got a lot of other things going on. And so, you know, my daughter was over there playing the piano just now. And, you know, she learned at a young age. And I remember all the time and rigor and practice she had to put in. But think about this. How have you ever been in those scenarios where you had a plan or a purpose and something that you wanted to go and accomplish and something got in your way? Any of you guys have been there, or is it just me? Right? Something got in your way. You know, you wanted to go and, you know, I don't know, get a certain type of career going. Or you wanted to go and be able to, you know, get your body in shape. You know, I could use that myself. I haven't done that yet, but I need to get on that plan. But, you know, there's a lot of things that you may have goals for. But yet, things get in your way. So when you think about your God-given goal, your God-given purpose, do you let things get in your way? What's getting in your way today from achieving the purpose and goal God has for you? I really want you to reflect on that and ponder that for yourself. So there's really three points I want to get across today. As I teach, I want to talk about three points, and we're going to go in the Bible after that. The three points is, first of all, each of you have a God-given purpose and a plan. You may not realize it, but you do. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. Secondly, the darkness of Satan seeks to get in the way of you achieving that plan and create a gap between you and God. And the third is, Patricia called it out, the light of Jesus will always break through that darkness. The light of Jesus will always break through that darkness. So let's go and hit the word here, and let's see what God talks about and says about being able to have a purpose for each and every one of us. We're going to go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. And it says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." So we got to think about what the words are saying there. To do good works, which God has already prepared for us to do. So he already knew, each and every one of us, what he had planned for us. The question is, do you know? Do you know what God has for you? See, we as believers and as God's creation, we know that God has us here for a specific purpose. The question is, are you fulfilling that purpose? Or are you letting the things of darkness to get in your way? This is going to take a little bit of deep reflection, guys, to really think about this for yourself. Because as I was preparing for this, boy, I was like, man, God is really talking to me and showing me things that I haven't really considered in terms of what's getting in the way of me being able to achieve the purpose he has for me. You know, this darkness that I'm talking about, it's not new. It's plagued us ever since mankind. Let's go and see what God says about this. If we go to Genesis chapter 1, at the very beginning of our word, if you go to chapter 1, verse 26, it says, "Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. You see, God created us with intention. The word is letting us know from the very beginning, Adam and Eve was created with intention. In Genesis 2:15, it says, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it." There was a purpose. There was a purpose, a specific purpose for Adam and Eve. But did they achieve that purpose? Let's talk about that darkness and how it set in. If we keep going down and we go to chapter 3 of Genesis, chapter 3 of Genesis says, and starting at verse 1, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?' The woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die.' 'You will not certainly die,' the serpent said to the woman, 'for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' When the woman saw the fruit of the tree, that the fruit of the tree was good for the food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees in the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, 'Where are you?' he answered. He answered, 'I'm in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid.' And he said, 'Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?' The man said, 'The woman you put me here with, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it.' Then the Lord God said to the woman, 'What is it? What is this you have done?' The woman said, 'The serpent deceived me, and I ate.'" You see here, by Adam and Eve embracing the darkness, they allowed Satan to get in the way of what God had planned for them. And they actually became distant from God. Think about it. All of a sudden, now they're scared and they're hiding. They had a relationship with God before that. It was a different type of relationship. It was an intimate relationship where God was with them. And now they're ashamed. They're ashamed for what they have done. Have you ever been there? You see, what Adam and Eve did not only create distance from them and God, but it also is what we call the fall of man, where it also created distance from us and God. We weren't righteous anymore. And it's because of this very darkness that we're talking about today. You know, when I think about this whole idea of darkness, it's not just Adam and Eve. Let's go in the Bible. Let's think about all the darkness, the moments where we saw different people in the Bible who were God-fearing who fell into that darkness. We know one. We can talk about our boy King David, right? King David, God, the man after God's own heart, fell into darkness. When he had adultery with Bathsheba, and then after that, what do? He ended up trying to cover it up, ended up killing her husband. He embraced the darkness. What about if we think about King Solomon? You know, he was the wisest man ever. You know, God, think about it. God asked him, you can have anything you want. And he said, God, I just want wisdom so I can go and know how to serve your people. Like, he was right there in lockstep. He had a purpose. God had a purpose for him. And what happened? Allowed his foreign wives, all his many wives, to get in his head. And then all of a sudden, he started idol worshiping. But what about Samson? He was a judge in Israel, known as the strongest man, one of the strongest men ever. You know, he had a purpose, but yet he embraced the darkness by allowing a woman to entice him and tempt him to ultimately being at a place where he was captured, lost his power, and eventually he was blinded. He ended up having blindness, and he ended up dying. You see, when we embrace the darkness, we can completely go off path of what God has for us. So when I talk about this darkness, what are we talking about, right? What are the forms of darkness? I'm going to throw up a few of them here for you guys. You know, you can see up here, it has deception, temptation, doubt, division, fear, pride, suffering. You know, I would go through a couple of these. If you think about deception, how does Satan operate with deception, right? You know, through deception, what Satan does, he twists the truth and manipulates situations to lead us astray, right? He makes something feels good. You know, the funny thing about Satan, he doesn't come in a way where he's like, go and kill somebody or go and do this or do that. That's not how Satan shows up. Satan shows up in a way that's actually very appealing. It's very appealing to us. And we're gonna talk a little bit more about that in a minute. You know, the last one I put on there, suffering, I put that on there yesterday as I was going back through my notes, and I added that one because I started thinking about what is suffering, right, in our lives. Satan afflicts us physically, emotionally, mentally, financially, and these sufferings, he's trying to actually have us undermine our faith in God. That's what Satan wants us to do. He wants us to undermine our faith in God. You know, when I look at all these, when you look at all of them, what is one thing they have in common? What is the one thing they have in common? And I want you to hear this because I believe it's the most powerful weapon Satan has and what he attacks us with every single day. It's a four-letter word. That's time. Time. What do I mean when I say time? Satan seeks to steal our time so that we are unable to truly know God and fulfill our purpose. Hear me what I just said here. Satan seeks to steal our time because we only have a certain amount of time. He seeks to steal our time, get us distracted so that we can't go after the will of God. All these things, all this stuff in the darkness, it results in Satan pulling our time, taking it from us. So my big idea today is simple. Don't let the darkness steal your time. Don't let the darkness steal your time. This is a very easy, simple way of thinking about what our purpose in life is and how Satan attacks us. But it's important to understand so that we can walk in it. Don't let the darkness steal our time. Let's live out God's purpose over Satan's distractions and darkness. How much time do you have left on this earth? 50 years? 40? I hope I can pull another 40 in. Yeah, that'd be nice, you know, if I can get another 40 on this earth. I'm already over the hill. But it'd be cool to get another 40, right? I don't know. Maybe it's only 10. Maybe it's 5 years. Maybe it's 1 year. Maybe it's less than 24 hours. Why is that important to understand, guys, that we may only have less than 24 hours on this earth right now? Because if you truly desire to have a true relationship with Christ and to be able to fulfill your God-given purpose, the time is now. It's not next week. It's not next month. It's not next year. It is right now. Hear what I'm saying, guys. We don't have time to waste. This is exactly what Satan wants. When, think about it. When we're saying, oh, you know, I'm tired. I don't want to really read my Bible. I don't want to. This is what Satan wants. He wants to steal our time. Because guess what? He knows that we don't know how much time we have. So he's able to deceive us and make us feel like, oh, yeah, we got all the time in the world. But the reality is we do not. We must focus on this now, not later. We must take control now, or it's going to be too late. So how do you take control and overcome the darkness, right? Everybody understand now, we're talking about darkness, but how do we take control? The only way to overcome darkness is light. And that's the light of Jesus Christ. How do I know this? It's because my Bible says so. Let's go and take a look at John chapter 1. Patricia read this earlier. We're going to go to John chapter 1. And I'm going to start with chapter 1. I'm going to continue to read here. First, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, with God. And the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. You see, Jesus is our one true light, and Satan is no match for Jesus. Let's go and go deeper in the Bible. We know Satan's no match for Jesus. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4. If we go to Matthew chapter 4, starting with verse 1, I'm going to read this, and I put a couple of them up there for you to see because these are some of the key points, and I wanted to show you how Jesus responds when Satan goes in a battle with Jesus. When Satan tries to overcome the light with his darkness, how does Jesus respond? So I'm going to start at Matthew chapter 1, and it says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. How many of you guys did 40 days and 40 nights of fasting? Now, I fast sometimes. It doesn't look like it, but I do, all right? Once in a while, I do, right? And I used to fast a lot for a period of time. And I can tell you, 4 days is a task. When you get to that day two, and you feel like your mind is blown out of your head, and like, I remember one time I was walking in Walmart, I was 2 days in, and see, I have kids still, so I still got to go and be around food and stuff, right? And so I'm 2 days into this fast, and I was walking in Walmart, and I swear I was about to pass out. I was about to pass out right on the ground. At that point, I went and got some food, and I was like, I can't do it no more. 2 days in, and let's multiply that by 20. Jesus, 40 days in, fast. Whoever's fast knows that your mind is not right. Things get all wacky mentally. You're weak. You're susceptible. Guess what? Satan had the prime opportunity to be able to overwhelm Jesus with his darkness. Let's see what happens. So if I go to verse 3, it says, the tempter came in and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. So what he's doing is he's enticing Jesus, right? Like, hey, you're the Son of God. You can change something to food and you can eat it, right? Now, Jesus could do that. We know that, right? But what was Jesus' response? Jesus answered, it is written, man should not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. What are you living by? Every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down. For it is written. Now, this is interesting. What is Satan doing here? He is about to do exactly what Jesus did to him. So he's about to take Jesus' weapon, which is the word of God, and try to use it against Jesus. I'm like, that's pretty conniving. That's pretty good, right? I'm like, that's pretty good. So what does he do? He says, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. It's written. He's quoting God. So then what is Jesus' response? Jesus answered him and says, it is also written, do not put the Lord God to the test. Simple. I'm telling you, Jesus is right on it, right? He's like, no, I know the word as well as you know the word. And Satan's trying to deceive and twist things up. But Jesus is staying right on the truth. So again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. So now what Satan is saying is, hey, you know what? I'm going to give you everything. I'm going to give you more than what you think you have. That's what he's trying to tell Jesus now, right? What is Jesus' response here? Jesus says to him, away from me, Satan. Now, this is an important part here. He says, away from me, Satan. What is Jesus doing there? What is Jesus doing right there? Jesus is using his authority. The authority that Jesus has, he is like, be gone. Like, you're wasting my time. Get out of my face. Get out of my way. That's what Jesus is doing there. He said, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And what happens? Satan leaves. Here's where I'm trying to get to, guys. Jesus, Satan was even not even close to a match to Jesus because Jesus stayed exactly with the word of God. And he used his authority and let the Satan be under his feet and said, get out of my way. When you're going through all the challenges and allowing the darkness to be in your life and it's in front of you, are you saying, get out of my way? Are you using the authority, the God-given authority that you have because you have been drafted into his family? And are you utilizing that authority to shine light through the darkness? So there's three things I'm going to leave you guys with today and how to take control of your time, how to get your time back. We're going to start with number one. First, you must be able to recognize darkness for what it is. To clearly see where you're stuck, you must recognize darkness. Don't get it twisted and think, oh, that's just nice to have or that's cool, you know. No, understand what darkness is. You must truly recognize it. You know, like, don't blame the darkness for being dark because, you know what, Satan is Satan. He's been Satan yesterday, today, and tomorrow. But we know what we're going against. It's not like Satan changed and changed his mind or something. He's the same Satan that he was in the Bible we read versus what's happening today. So do you know what that darkness is? How could you know? It starts with going back to God's word. You shouldn't be surprised because you should go back to his word and understand who Satan really is. And as you think about that, I want you to reflect on what is your darkness? Is it sin, social pressures, unforgiveness, resentment, illnesses, stress, anxiety, greed, pride, addiction, idol worship, or something else? What is your darkness? You may be sitting there right now and thinking, I don't even know what my God-given purpose is. So there's nothing to fight or my time I'm not losing because I don't have a purpose. That's interesting because I want you to actually challenge that. If you're one of the individuals right now thinking you don't have a purpose, perhaps it's because the darkness is blinding you. Perhaps it's because the darkness is blinding you and you have a long distance relationship with God. So you can't even see that purpose. We're all at the same place, guys. Let's call it for what it is. No one's righteous. None of us are righteous. The only way that we can have salvation is through Jesus Christ himself. So let's understand where Satan is trying to challenge us and where he is winning in our lives today. Where is Satan winning in your life today? I ask that every one of you deeply reflect on this. We're going to do a little exercise here. For those here at service today, I want you guys to get a gap card. You guys know the gap cards in the front of the seat. Or if there's not a gap card there, you can get a piece of paper. Or if you don't have a piece of paper or a pen, raise your hand, because I'll have some people give you a pen and paper over here. Because everyone's going to need a pen and paper. So if you need a pen and paper, we got someone over here that needs one, Isis. We got a few people over here. And for those that are watching, please go and get a paper and a pen. Just a piece of paper, doesn't matter what it is, and a pen or a pencil. Patricia, can you go over there and give some? They need some over there. What I want you to do as you get a paper and a pen, I want you to write down, and this is for you, so don't think that no one's going to collect it, no one's going to check to see if you got the correct answer. That's not what this is about. This is for you. I want you to deeply think about what is the darkness that's attacking you in your life today, and I want you to just write that down. It may be one, two, or three things. I did this myself. And I have three things on here for myself that's true darkness that's attacking me today that I say, you know what? I got to do something about this. I cannot continue to allow Satan to bring this darkness around me or my life, or I'm not going to be able to fully achieve the purpose God has for me. So I just want you to take a moment and write down what that darkness is for you. I know this is not an easy task I'm asking, guys. But I'll tell you, it will be the road for you to overcome the darkness. You must identify it first. We must be able to identify our darkness. You know, it's like problem solving. If you don't know your problem, how can you solve it? Right? We all need to be able to understand where Satan is attacking us today. And it's different. For some people, it may be some kind of addiction. For someone else, it's not that. For some people, they may think they got it all together, but it's really pride. And they want to be in control of everything. Right? That's one of mine, by the way. I shouldn't tell y'all that. But it is. Sometimes letting go is a hard problem for me. But you know what? I realize that that also stops me from achieving the purpose God got for me. Right? You know, I know what my purpose is. I know that God has given me the talent, the ability to be able to go and disciple in the workplace and disciple others and prepare others to disciple in the workplace as well. That's where my strength is. That's where my passion is. And God has equipped me to do that very well. But I have darkness that gets in the way of me being effective at doing that. And a lot of times it holds us back. It stops us in our tracks. So as you hold on to that, we'll come back to it, but I want you to just hold on to that and begin to think through what is that for you. But if we as we move on to the second one, we must be able to step into our authority by knowing God's word. We must be able to step into our authority. So it's one thing to know, okay, we have this darkness. Now we have to know what to do with it. We got to step into the God-given authority we have. Each of us have been anointed because of God. And that light that we keep talking about is within us. And so if that light is within us, we, just like Jesus did, we have the opportunity to demand that Satan get out of our way. We don't have to keep him there. We must first prepare ourselves by knowing who God is. Are you curious to learn about the Bible? Do you ever get excited about going to see what is God saying about this? If you don't, I suggest you start thinking about doing that, because guess what? When you do that, you're more equipped. You're more equipped and you understand what God's word really says. What does God's word says about the authority, for instance? This authority I'm talking about, some of you guys may be sitting here saying, this dude is crazy. Talking about some authority that we have and God is within us and the light and all this stuff, right? The Bible says something different. We have to read the word. Let's go through a couple of verses where it talks about this. If I go to Luke 10:19, it says, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. Mark 16:17-18 says, and these signs will accompany those who believe. Who believe, Christians, right? Who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands, and they will drink deadly poison. It will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. See, believers are given more authority than we think we have. We are given authority in Jesus' name to perform miracles and to overcome the darkness. Ephesians 6:10 says, finally, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. See, we're able to resist the devil if we go and do what God is telling us to do. Let's put that full armor on, which means knowing his word, walking in the light of Christ, listening what God is asking us to do, and following his will. 1 John 4:4 says, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. The one that is in you. He didn't say beside you, somebody you got to call, somebody you got to run after. The one that's within you is greater than that darkness that's within our world. So the darkness is there, right? We can't just say, okay, it's just poof, it's gone. It's there. But we have something greater that overcomes that darkness. Are you living in that? That light breaks through the darkness, but you must believe and you must walk in that authority. You must know that the enemy is under your feet. Don't raise the enemy and elevate him to a level that he's not. Because when you do that, he wins. He kills your time. He takes your time of doing what God has because now you're living in fear or you're afraid to move. See, it's time for us to step up. It's time for us to live and walk in the authority of our God-given right. So let's go to the third action here. Shine your light as bright as you can to take authority over the darkness. To do this, we must be humble, bold, and loving. Humble because when we start shining that light as bright as we can, if we think we Jesus, oh, now we're really messing up, right? We operate through Jesus, right? Right? Like, we are not Jesus. But we must be humble and understand that we don't control it. Like I said, that's one of the challenges I have. Sometimes I think I'm smarter than who Jesus is, right? Because I want to take control of it. You must humble yourself, but you must boldly walk and operate in that authority. And we must be loving when we do it. You see, Jesus wasn't going around trying to show off and make big deals about things when people were messing up and all off path. What did Jesus do? He showed up in a loving way. He corrected in a loving way. Let's operate in the power of Jesus. There's no fear in this perfect love. So we have an opportunity to let our light shine bright, right? Like it can go beyond us. It can go to others when we let it shine bright in this world. Today I stand here with full authority through Christ Jesus to remove the darkness in my life. And I'm asking you to do the same. It doesn't matter what sins you fell into in the past year, the past month, past week, even past day, or even today. Darkness, get out of my way, right? It doesn't matter what talents you have or don't have. Darkness, get out of my way. It doesn't matter if you're sitting here with or you're in a room with a bunch of non-Christians. Darkness, get out of your way. Still fulfill your purpose that God has for you, right? It doesn't matter if you're sick and you have an illness. Darkness, get out of my way. Paul couldn't even get rid of the thing that he had going on his side. He said, you know what? That's a thorn in his side. But yet, he kept trucking along. Remove that darkness. Darkness, get out of my way. My point here, guys, is that what matters is focusing on our God-given purpose and shining that light brighter than the darkness so that we can have a close relationship with God and fulfill what he has for us. Let me simplify this, church. Imagine yourself driving along on a highway at night. You're driving along, everything's going good. You go into a destination. And all of a sudden, all the lights go out. All the lights on the town, all the lights in your car, all the headlights go out. No stars or moon is around. It's just pitch black. What do you do? I don't know about you. I'm stopping. I'm not going to keep driving, can't see anything. I'm going to run off a cliff or something, right? We usually stop. That stop is still in our time. Sometimes we do get bold, though, and we want to keep going, and now all of a sudden we're going down the wrong path and eventually fall off that cliff. See, that's what darkness does to us as well. We can get so caught up in that deception that we start going down a whole different path and we can't even see. And it ends up being disastrous for us. This is what we're talking about here, guys. But see, we have a light that no matter if every other light went out and the darkness tried to overwhelm us, we have a light that shines brighter than that. And that's Jesus Christ. And again, guys, walking in that, knowing that Jesus lives within you. It's not something that you have to go and have someone else pray for you about. Prayer is good, don't get me wrong. But like, walk in the authority you have as well. Know that Jesus Christ is with you every single step of the way. So I'm going to leave you with two questions. Will you continue to let the darkness of this world steal your time to know God and fulfill the purpose that is intended for you? Or will you be the light that you were designed to be? If you desire to truly have a close relationship with God and be able to fulfill your purpose here on earth, you can't afford not to do something about it right now. I'm not asking you guys to think about this. I'm trying to help you understand the urgency of taking control now. This is the time to do something about it. If you don't know your purpose, this is the time to lean into it right now and ask God, what is that for you? If you know that there's some darkness out there that's in your life, this is the time to be able to now begin to think about that light of Christ and how it will overcome it. Right? You could dwell on the darkness, but dwelling on the darkness, like I said, won't get us anywhere. We must dwell on the light of Christ, the love of Christ. Man, Christ died for us. He loved us so much that he put everything on the line for us. Don't waste it. Don't waste the gift that each and every one of us have. So what we're going to do now is we're going to go back into worship. And as we go back into worship, we're going to sing the song, Get Out of My Way Again. But as we sing that song, I ask each and every one of you to go back and review what you wrote down. And then after you review what you wrote down, I want you to begin and now prepare yourself to walk into the authority that you are given. I want you to walk in the authority that you have, that light. I want you to understand it, feel it, and understand who Jesus is in you. And begin to demand Satan to leave you alone. Change it. You have the ability today to change the direction of the darkness that's in your life right now. Lord Father, we love you and we thank you. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for loving us so much that even though we mess up every single time, our mess ups, our sin is not big as your grace and your mercy. And we just ask you, Lord, to help us begin to understand the true authority that we walk in. Help us begin to have a deeper relationship with you, where we're walking with you, Lord, and we're living with you, Lord. And that darkness, when it comes across, Lord Father, we command it to get out of our way, Lord Father. We walk over that and trample over it, Lord, and keep moving towards your direction, Lord Father. No longer are we going to live a life, Lord Father, where we live in fear and we live in deception and we live in darkness, Lord Father. We are now going to live in the light of Christ because it's within us, Lord, and we know that you are our God, Lord, and that you will never leave us. We love you.